You're ready for the word? If you'll amend me, good. I'll let you out before noon. Amen. I'm getting soft in my old age. Amen. Go back to those 45-minute sermons. I got one. So let's talk about this title right here. I like that. A seat at the table. A seat at the table. Have you ever been out to eat somewhere and someone comes walking into the restaurant and recognizes you and sits down with you? And you're like, hi. And you want to say, what are you doing? They just assume that they could just pull up a chair and just join you without an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Awkward. It just told, those of you that do that will stop doing that. Just because you recognize somebody doesn't mean you can go sit at the table with them. It's an awkward moment. Now you got to change your plans and you got to talk to them. It just changes the moment there. Well, David talks about a seat at the table. And it's after he talks about how good God is. Whew. He said, we have a shepherd. And that shepherd provides, and he comforts us, and he feeds us, he protects us, he restores us when we're depleted. Praise God. And then he gets into this thing about the valley of the shadow of death. What? I thought the shepherd took care of us. What's this valley of death? What's this? We got enemies? How many have experienced the fact that you have an enemy? If you've never experienced that, it's because you're not really saved. Amen. I'm not talking about normal things that even sinners have to face. We all face that. I'm talking about things that only saints experience, things the world has no knowledge of, things that the enemy will come against us, and he doesn't come against them because he already has them, but he'll come against us in very strange ways. But there's this thing about sitting at a table, which is always seems to be a peaceful, pleasant, a place of fellowship, a place of feeding, of nurturing, but we're eating in the presence. All around us is a war. We're actually eating in a war zone. But what the Holy Ghost hit on me is this. The enemy it's not just a war zone going on around us. He wants a seat at the table. That's why it's phrased the way it is. The enemy wants to pull up a chair and enter the conversation. He wants to get a word in edgewise. He wants to change the conversation. Change your focus away from Jesus. And on that new person who sat down. Whenever the devil takes a seat at your table, you need to rebuke him. Tell him this is for me and Jesus. And he's not welcome at the table. Oh, somebody help me in the house. Hallelujah. The enemy is always trying to get a seat at the table. Don't let him because he'll eat your lunch. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Oh, my God. Come on. He's trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Have you heard enough cliches? Okay. We've all heard that before. But how many know it's very true? Very true. See, the Lord will lead you to still waters. Sheep are always looking for a place to drink, especially in that dry desert place. How many know they need water? You can't go long. 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water. You got to have water. You got to find water. Here's the thing. The enemy will find water, but it won't be still. He'll bring you to a roaring water. And you might even think that's cool. But the thing about sheep is, they'll get in those rapids and try to take a drink. And their head will get all wet and their wool, I almost said fur, their wool will get all wet and that'll be a weight. And before you know it, they're tumbling in the water and they drowned. The very thing that is life-giving, if it's from the enemy, it'll kill you. My God. We can go home right now. You got enough word. You got more than you can process already. He wants to take us to roaring waters. Whew. You say, water is water. No, it's not. He brings us to still waters and green pastures. Whew. The enemy will have us eating poison ivy. You know, come on. My God. He wants a seat at the table. This is not the first time this has happened. Isn't that exactly what he was doing with Eve? Isn't it all about eating something? He invited himself to the table when Adam wasn't around. But Adam fell for it too. Whatever, follow your wife. Amen. All right, I'm not going there. Easy. It's been good so far, preacher. Don't mess it up. See, he's always inviting himself. And then I thought about Judas at the table. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, it's always been about God wanting to not just dwell with us, but to sit with us at the table. I mean, look at Exodus 25 and verse 30. We go all the way back to the tabernacle, and one of the pieces of furniture on the tabernacle, what? It's the table of, in the old King James, it's the table of shewbread. What's shewbread? Shewbread. That word in the original Hebrew, that it literally means the table of faces. The table of faces. In other words, it's not an empty old wooden table, but there are faces around the table. The face of God. The face of angels. Your face. And in the middle of the table are those 12 loaves of bread. 12 loaves representing all the tribes of Israel. Everybody has a loaf at the table. Even the loafers. I'm just full of this stuff today. I got all kinds of cliches for you. So from Genesis to Revelation, the enemy has been trying to sit at the table. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 6, the Lord Yahweh, commander of the angel armies, one of the names of God, will host a rich feast on this mountain for people. This is to come yet. A feast with plenty of meat and well-aged wine, with an abundance of food and the finest wine. That's all coming up. Finally, Church of God people can drink wine. So I signed me up. I'm watching you. Say amen. Amen. So from Genesis to Revelation. How many kind of things, I can't prove this biblically, but how many believe maybe in the garden God sat down with Adam and Eve and had a meal with them? I mean, they walked together in the cool of the day. Why not have a meal? Praise God. But the enemy, enemy wants a seat at the table. He wants to disturb your fellowship. He wants to contradict what Jesus says. He wants his opinion heard. He wants to change your mind about some things. He wants to confuse you about what the other, third person, the second person at the table is. Let's call him the first person, Jesus Christ at the table. My God, hallelujah. So here we are at a table in the middle of a war zone. And the commander of the angel armies is with us. And also the commander of the fallen angels wants a seat at your table. And there we are. And we have to be able to deal with both of them. How many of you have been in some trials? How many of you have had seriously difficult problems, maybe even this morning, that you're facing? We've all been down. We've all had our doubts and fears. We've all had our moments. Don't ever think you're different than anybody else, including the person you're looking at. I've been through the same things you've been through. But for those of you that have been saved shorter than me, let me tell you something. Let me be a witness. I'm still standing. Can I put it another way? I'm still sitting. I'm still sitting at the table. Seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Wow. So we have this thing going on. So we need an attitude. We need an attitude adjustment. That's what I want to get to you today. And here it is. The Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I want to say it like this. We need an even if attitude. That no matter what happens, even if such and such happens, I've decided to serve him. We need an even if attitude that no matter how many times he tries to sit at the table, my focus is on the Lord on the other side of the table. Ignore this thing over here. Anybody with me in this place? How many remember the three Hebrew children? Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Remember this? They were going to get thrown into the fiery furnace. And the three of them are standing there. He said, if that is the case, if you're going to throw us in, watch this. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, help me in this place. But if not, let it be known, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Even if I've made up my mind. Even if, no matter what, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to follow him. We sang about Acts. In fact, we sang about all this stuff. Jason must have known what I was preaching. Obviously. Acts 16, right? Paul and Silas. They had just done a good thing. A woman, a young girl, who had a demon in her. A demon. And that demon was a diviner, foretelling the future. And there were people that made a lot of money on her. Believe me, just follow the money. Just follow the money. And they got all upset because their source of money ran out. Believe me, that's where a lot of the anger comes from today. That if we serve Jesus, they're the losers, and we're the winners. So they brought them to the magistrate. These men, being Jews, they trouble our city. The world wants, there are people in this world that want the rest of the world to believe that the problem today is the Christians. We're the problem. Oh, I want to preach on this. I got one preach. Okay. Two, three. And they teach customs which are not lawful for a lot. Really? Being Romans to receive or observe. Paul was a Roman. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. How many know there's a lot of anger in the world today? Oh, I'm going to preach. I'm going to have to go there. Is there another verse? And when they had laid many stripes on them, listen, don't ignore that. They were beaten, many stripes. They didn't even count them. I'm sure their backs were laid bare, bloodied. Just blood and flesh cut on their backs. Horrible. Can you imagine the pain? The loss of blood? And then they throw them into prison. It's not like prisons today. There's not even a television. I mean, it was rough. There was no comfortable beds, no air conditioning. Those things were rank, full of rats, fleas. I could go on. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. Even if, but at midnight, in the darkest hour, full of pain, cold, damp, rat-infested, bug-infested. No hope. Looked like they were going to die. Come on. How many of you could sing a song? Come on, you know I've preached this many times, but sometimes we just got to go back and listen to them. And they were praying and singing hymns. I believe they were saying, "What a friend we have in Jesus." No, that was 2,000 years later. Okay, I don't know what they were saying. But what a friend we have. They're praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. And you know what happened? You know what happened? An earthquake, coincidentally, hits the place, and it shook the very foundation of that jail. And every prison door broke open. Whew. Isn't God great? Even if, I'm going to serve the Lord and he will see to all my needs. Even in the midst of all that, they sang. Gave praises to God. Ha! God is good. God is good. Listen, I need to go here because we need to understand. I really do believe we are at a turning point. Something has changed in the heavenly realm. I believe we even felt it this morning. You need to understand something. Get this in your spirit. I don't know what the percentage is. Maybe 20%, maybe more, of the people in America absolutely hate you. They don't know you, but they hate you. Not only that, but they think you're the problem. And they hate you so much, they're willing to kill you. And they did. They're calling him, Charlie, they're calling him martyr. I don't know how deep a Christian he was, but he was a believer. He preached faith and family. See, that's where the enemy has, that's the center of the war. Abortion. Destroying the role of men, husbands in the family. Come on. Come on, all that stuff. Destroying even the concept of marriage. Men can marry men. Women can marry women. In some places now they want to marry their pet dog. Well, have your way. Whatever. Much weirder things are coming. But they're not just doing weird things. They are angry. I don't have it here on the board, but the Holy Spirit dropped this in my spirit. Here it is. He said, they hated me. So don't be surprised that they hate you. And I said, where does it say that? I need to look that up. All four Gospels say it. There's not a lot of things that all four say together. Matthew 10, if you want to write these down, Matthew 10, 21, 22. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death. A father, his child, children rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Mark comes along and he says, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Luke says, amen. 21:17, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. They're just hating you because you love Jesus. That's it. And then John comes along, really breaks it down. He said, these things I command you, that you love one another. If we've ever been in a time where we need to be in the house of God, where we need to be loving on each other, hugging one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another, if we've ever done it, now is the day. He said, if the world hates you, you know, he's quoting Jesus, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. You know what that means? The more like Jesus we become, the more they don't like us. Where I was, I want to be more like Jesus. Do you? Even if. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out. Do you know you're chosen? Out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. Therefore, the world hates you. You know, this guy, I won't say his name. This guy was raised in a religious home. Good family, good parents. Come on. He was raised to have standards and beliefs. He was certainly raised to love one another. Come on. But somehow he got twisted. Whew. Listen, parents, you need to be careful about children on the internet. Because he was raised morally the right way. And yet he got twisted because he spent all his time on a screen. Young people believe what they see. And once they start screening that stuff, Google knows, send more, send more. And they begin to get on all these sites that are hate-filled, anti-Christian. We are at a turning point, and y'all shout it, but it also means they're coming for us. That same hatred, it's not just hatred towards him, it's hatred towards us. And the internet was full of sick people who actually applauded this man and said he did a good thing. But I'm telling you, when his wife got online, her strength, her vision, someone said, she'll be president someday. I'll vote for her. Money is pouring in. I don't know who's going to take the lead on this thing, but young people everywhere are rising up. Even young people didn't know anything about it, and they're starting to say, who's this guy? What did he believe? And they're being forced to start taking sides. Which side are you on? What do you believe? What do you stand for? It's time to make a stand. If you don't believe in this horrible stuff that's going on, then you need to stand up in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, starting with young people, there's a move coming to the nation. But mark my word, the more it happens, the more hate and violence there's going to be. But even if, I'll not deny him, I'll not back up, I'll not surrender, I'll not hide, I will not still my voice, amen. We're not going to get violent, we're not going to get ugly, but we have a message, we have a voice, we have Jesus at the table. Give him a praise. Let me close. Habakkuk. All right. I love this. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, even if I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy, not just believe, not just preach, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Somebody praise him. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. Or as one southerner said, my high heels. To the chief musician with my stringed instruments, he said, I'm making a song, and I'm going to sing it. And I know what the enemy's doing, and I know what he could do. But I'm telling you now, even if I will praise him, even if I will call on his name, even if I will believe, even if I'll not turn away, even if I've made up. Listen, you need to make up your mind before it hits. That even if I will stand with Jesus. Stand to your feet, praise the Lord. Woo! My God, I feel him in the house. How many will declare with me, this is a turning point? How many will declare it with me? You know what really blew my mind is that nations all over the world, there are vigils in support of him. I didn't know they knew him. Young people all over the world and older people, some of us even show up, are starting to come out and say, what happened was wrong. And by the way, I'm a believer too. By the way, I stand with him. By the way, I'm coming out of the closet. Woo! Whether you like it or not, we're at war. Whether you like it or not, the enemy wants a seat at the table. But we're not going to put up with it. It's time to make a stand in your home. Make a stand on what you watch on the internet. Let me tell you something. The Lord showed me this. There are things on the internet that are directly connected to demons. directly connected to the demonic. And when you open that, you open a doorway to the demonic. You can look at me like, what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can just look at it and the gateway's open. It's no wonder that people are getting possessed by evil spirits. And they say, where did that come from? How did that happen? Yeah, I know. Never, never, never in the history of mankind have so many people been influenced so greatly by so much. This is the world we live in, folks. Young people, listen to me. Be careful what you watch. You can say you're just no fuddy-duddy. That's fine. That's fine. You say what you want. But I'm telling you, as your pastor, as someone who knew the Lord before there ever was an internet, oh, Jesus, those were the days. But now there's an internet, and you can literally connect to anything, anybody, anywhere. And those connections, some of them are demonic. But listen, also on that internet is the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that the enemy, one of his names of the enemy, is the prince of the power of the air. Prince of the power of the air. He's controlling the internet. But through all that, the grace of God is shining through. Through all that, the power of the Holy Spirit is coming through. Through all that, God is touching people. Amen. The internet's not evil. It can be good. It can be bad. It's what you make it. It's what you connect to. So go to the internet. My God, you can watch us. There are people right now, hi, watching us on the internet. Amen. I get comments all the time. I watched you last week. Good message, Pastor. People are using it for good reasons. And just like this morning, we felt like there was a portal open. And God just came down and answered prayer. That internet can be a portal. But a portal to what? Am I making sense? Or am I making sense? Am I reaching anyone? Please listen to this old geezer. Listen to me. I'm not just being old-fashioned. I'm up on all this stuff. I know about this. What I don't know, Misty does. Okay, so I'm in touch, and I'm telling you, there are evil portals that you need to stay away from. Get at the table. Be seated at the table and sit with the Lord and boot the other guy. I mean, he'll pull a chair from another table and come over and sit with you. And you need to just either ignore them or say, you know what? I didn't invite you here. You need to leave. How many know some of us need to get bolder? Ah! Bolder! Praise God, amen. Sing it, King. Come on, let's come to the altar. Come to the tables. I sought the Lord. Listen, if you need a breakthrough,